You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can now confirm for you that the Bears do, in fact, still suck. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's commanding, utterly dominant, fun as hell, 41-25 win over the Chicago Bears, the hated Chicago Bears, at a not all the way empty Lambeau Field on Sunday night, a game played before the nation on NBC Sunday Night Football. Just couldn't let Matt LaFleur get his biggest margin of victory, could you? That's it. I'm not going to say that shit anymore on Twitter, on Leighton Packers blowouts. I am done. I did it again tonight. Early fourth quarter, Packers up 41-10. I'm like, if this... Because I've been saying it. You know, I've been saying it on Twitter, I think a couple different points, at least a couple different points already this season. I've said, if this score holds, it will be Matt LaFleur's largest margin of victory as head coach of the Packers. And every goddamn time I say it, the opponent ends up getting a couple of garbage time touchdowns or a garbage time score, and it ends up ruining it. It ruins it. I'm not saying it anymore. I have jinxed it. I am sorry. I apologize to Packer Nation, all my fellow Packer fans. I am sorry. His biggest margin of victory is still 21 points. Looked like maybe he was going to break that tonight. It was going to be a 31-point win or maybe a 24-point win. It ended up being 16. I mean, but it was 41-10. We all know, right? With the win, the Packers improved to 8-3. So I didn't jinx that. With the win, the Packers improved to 8-3 on the season and have essentially locked down the NFC North title for yet another season. I'm knocking on wood very loudly as I say that. But again, barring some sort of horrible injury to Aaron Rodgers or some other complete calamity, they're going to win the division. They'll be division champs. I say that because they are now a full three games ahead of the second-place Minnesota Vikings. That's right. The Vikings are in second place now. Congratulations. They eked out a win over the Carolina Panthers at home Sunday to improve to 5-6. They take hold of second place via the head-to-head tiebreaker over the now 5-6 Bears, who their season's officially cratering. Can I say that? I say that with just the utmost joy that their season is officially cratering. I couldn't be happier about that. I'm just gleeful, you might even say. I've been in a good mood lately, so yeah. I will say that gleefully. Detroit Lions lost on Thanksgiving, as you may have seen, to the Houston Texans, falling to 4-7 on the season, and they will have a new head coach and general manager next season after they fired head coach Matt Patricia and GM Bob Quinn on Saturday. Boy, I don't know if you saw any of the reactions from current and former Lions after Patricia got fired. Speaking of fucking gleeful, oh my God. You know, really kind of seems like everybody there hated his guts, which I'm not surprised. He just seemed like a jerk. He seemed like a dick. Are you surprised? I'm not. I wasn't surprised. Well, I'll say I was surprised that Patricia got fired. I thought he'd get fired at the end of the year. I'm surprised that they fired him now. I suppose if you want to get the leg up on your coaching search for next year, maybe you'd do it. Packers did this with McCarthy once upon a time, obviously. I am shocked that they fired Quinn. I thought Quinn would get one more head coach hire before he'd get shit canned, but nope. Cleaned house in Detroit. So I'm sure that'll be... Wherever they hire, I'm sure it'll suck. That franchise is just cursed, right? It's just cursed. I don't know why they are, though. You know it. I know it. Anyways, some bonus standing stuff now. Some rivalry standings. The win Sunday was Green Bay's 100th over Chicago in the league's oldest rivalry, as the Packers improved to 195-6 all-time against the Bears. There may be some more on that rivalry standing stuff later on in the show. Spoiler alert. Before we get into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion. Oh my God, I've already been talking for 4 minutes. Fuck me. Before we get into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. I'll go quick here. Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. Gmail, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anybody listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating. 5 stars, 4 stars, those are the best. I'd say comment, but I don't think anybody's left a comment in a while. If you want to, though, go ahead. It's there. We're on Spotify. Search for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue that sits outside Lambeau Field. And we're on iHeartRadio as well. As I take a drink of my water. Okay, let's go. My voice just cracked. Let's go. Let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers dub, rivalry dub. So the story of the game, I mean, it was just total domination, right? This was just a complete fucking ass-kicking tonight. Total domination. I don't know if I'd say in all three phases, but overall, yeah, domination. 41-25 final, as I said earlier, really it was 41-10. We all know that. You know what? The offense led the way, right? So let's start. We have to start there. I got to start there. Talking about the offense. Let's do that. Start with Aaron Rodgers. After a rougher than a lot of people said performance last week, at least to me, I thought his performance was not great. I thought he left a lot on the table. He bounced back nicely in this one. Now, the stats won't totally show that, right? 21 of 29, 211 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 7.3 yards per attempt. You're going, that's good. But really, I thought he was outstanding tonight. Yeah. Really seemed in command of the offense, seemed really in sync with the game plan. There was a lot of synergy going on with the game plan, which I thought was awesome. That tends to be when Rodgers is at his best. I think at this point in his career, you can kind of tell when he's feeling the game plan. And it felt like he was tonight, man. Particularly on play action. At one point in the fourth quarter, NBC said he was 7 of 9 for 68 yards and 3 touchdowns on play action. He was rolling on the PA stuff tonight. Absolutely. Some really great moments. I thought his third touchdown pass of the night, that may have been his most impressive single throw in this one. Right? Speaking of play action, there's Rodgers on the play action. Pressure right in his face. He's kind of falling back. Slings one. It was high, but I mean, even getting the pass close to Alan Lazard was really impressive. Slings one high to an open Lazard. Leaps up. Hauls it in. Touchdown Packers. PAT good. 23 Green Bay with 4:34 to go in the first half. That was really, I mean, that was an impressive throw. Like, it wasn't like he's, it wasn't quite a sidearm, but it was almost like a, it was like a, something in between sidearm and a regular motion, whatever the hell you'd call that. It's a great throw from Rodgers. He, and I'll tell you what else I liked from Rodgers tonight. I felt like the old spiteful "fuck you, Aaron Rodgers" was in the house. That, I mean, I'll get to why in a minute, or why I think it might have been, but I mean, it's the fourth quarter. He's still heaving 50-yard bombs to Devontae. They were up, I think, were they up 31 at that point? 31 or 24? They were up big. He's heaving them to Devontae. Fourth and two, just under 3 minutes to go. Offense is still on the field. They're going for it. Rodgers still in the game. Why is he still in the game? Hits Tonyan for the first. Gotta say Robert Tonyan. Sorry. Sorry, Big Bob. Hits Tonyan for the first. Here's why I think Rodgers may have been upset. So there was that play, I think it was in the third quarter, right? Late third, maybe early fourth, when Bears rookie corner Jalen Johnson hit Alan Lazard. Clean hit. It was a, I mean, he popped him. Clean hit. But he kind of, I mean, it looked like he stood over him, right? Like he was kind of rubbing it in. I don't think Rodgers, I know the Packers as a team didn't take kindly to it, and I don't think Rodgers did either. I think that might have been a reason why he stayed in the game and was still slinging it even late. Which is great. Like, as we all know, spiteful Aaron Rodgers is the best Aaron Rodgers. Heart full of hate Aaron Rodgers is the best Aaron Rodgers. That's when he's at his absolute ass-kicking best. Here's why that's funny. There's a basketball connection to this. Did you know this? Jalen Johnson, I think this is still the case anyways. Jalen Johnson's girlfriend, I think it's his girlfriend, it's his wife, I'm not sure, his lady friend, let's say, is her sister is the girlfriend of a certain NBA megastar who happens to play here in Milwaukee. That's right, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Jalen Johnson's girlfriend is sisters with Giannis's girlfriend. And who is part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks? That's right, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, what a tangled web, huh? I don't know if people... You might not have known that, but at least, hey, if you got nothing else from the show, you got that tonight. So that's an interesting kind of subplot I thought was funny. Also, Giannis, please sign the Supermax. Please, we love you. Please stay. Please sign the Supermax. Come on, man. Let's go. Let's win a chip here in Milwaukee. Stay, man. Stay. Had to say that. Sorry. I'm not sorry. I had to say I love him. He's got to stay. Please stay. Also, Rodgers, of course, hit a huge milestone tonight. Huge. The 11th player in NFL history to throw for 50,000 yards. Rodgers getting there on his third quarter touchdown pass to Robert Tonyan. That was a nice play, hey? Rodgers on the play action, flips his hips. I don't know if it was a play action, he just kind of flipped his hips. Looking deep for Tonyan. Tonyan is wide open. Rodgers hits him, comes down with it. Tonyan gets in for the 39-yard score. That made it 34-10 Packers with, again, 6:30 to go in the third. Easy flick of the wrist for 12. That was really pretty. So, yeah, the 11th player in NFL history to throw for 50,000 yards, which is crazy when you consider he sat his first 3 years. Now, he was rough. For anybody who can remember that far back, he was rough those first couple training camps. So I'm sort of loath to say, well, he might have had, he might be pushing 60,000 at this point if he'd play right away. I don't know, because he wasn't ready. There's a chance maybe if he had played right away, he would have flamed out. Who knows? Those 3 years were huge for him. But yeah, I mean, you would think if he had played and if everything had gone well, he'd be around 60,000 yards. So, I mean, that's a huge milestone for Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Congratulations to him on that. Speaking of milestones, that's what we in the biz call a wonderful transition. Devontae Adams reached 500 catches for his career on his leaping first quarter touchdown grab that came on Green Bay's first drive of the game. Really important drive. I thought that set the tone for the entire night. Like, they got the ball and let the Bears know right away, it's going to be a long night for you MFers. It just is. And Devontae's touchdown. Yeah, so 500 catches. 500 catches for Devontae. He had a nice night. What did he end up with? 6 catches, 61 yards, and a score. I mean, that's a good night. It's maybe, we've probably been spoiled by Devontae's performances this season where we're like, 6, 61, and a score? That's a really good night. He had a good night. He did slip. It was funny that he caught that touchdown because on the play before, he was running the slant and he slipped. And I'm pretty sure if he'd caught that, that would have been 6. So for him to bounce back on the very next play and get a touchdown was nice to see. But yeah, good night from Devontae. I'll tell you who else I thought looked really nice tonight. Aaron Jones, I thought, looked fantastic. 17 carries, 90 yards. What, did he have any catches? 1 catch, no yards. So 18 touches for 90 yards. Really a good night from 33, Showtime, for sure. It was nice to see his workload increase slightly. If you've been listening to the show the last few weeks, I've been complaining. I didn't think they were using him as much. Particularly, it felt like they were going away from him for long stretches of the game, which I don't think they should ever do when you have a back of his caliber on your roster. So it was nice to see. It felt like they made it. There were a couple gaps I wasn't thrilled with, but for the most part, it felt like they made a real concerted effort to make him a consistent factor in the game, which was really good to see. They got to keep that going. Look, anything they want to do as far as playoff success, 33 is going to be a huge part of that. He is. He just is. He's a star running back. They need him. So it's nice to see, as we're getting into, we're nearing December now. It'll be December the next time they play. They're going to start really cranking. Hopefully they'll start cranking that up and keep that cranked. And then I thought some really nice, speaking of fuck you, I thought there's some really nice fuck you running from Jamal Williams in the third and fourth quarter. He finished with 17 carries, 73 yards, and the touchdown. Really, that's where I think he's best, as kind of the finisher. It's been a long night for the defense. They're chasing Rodgers. They're chasing these wide receivers. They're chasing Jones. Here comes Jamal in to punch you in the face late in the game. That's where he really excels, and he did so tonight, I thought. So good stuff from him. And then Tonyan, continuing to develop. Robert Tonyan just continues to develop into a very solid, reliable tight end who has the ability to make the big plays as well. I don't think, he'll never be Kittle, right? His workout buddy. He'll never be George Kittle. He'll never be Kelsey. But I think he can become a very reliable, solid wide receiver who, again, does have some big playability. Definitely. It's kind of sad. I thought that was going to be Jace. Still a little butthurt about that. I thought that was going to be Jace Sternberger this year. But obviously, Tonyan has seized the role and taken it. And you know what? He's played well. What did he finish with, by the way? He had 5 catches, team high, 67 yards, and the aforementioned 39-yard touchdown. Now, I've talked about the glory boys, the skill position players. But let's be real. None of that happens tonight. without a great, great effort from the offensive line. Once again, a makeshift offensive line, as Corey Linsley was again injured in this game. Second week in a row, he had to leave early due to an injury. Last week, it was the back. Tonight, it was the knee. I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of concerned about the knee injury. It looked, the fact that he was kind of grabbing at the back of his knee when he was down. Like, I'm not a doctor. You already know that. But it's like one of the things you have to say now. You have to go, I'm not a doctor. Because Jesus Christ, if I didn't say it, you might think I was. But I'm not a doctor, but the way he was grabbing at his knee and the fact that he kind of had to be helped off the field and was declared out for the rest of the night fairly quick. I'm worried about Linsley. He's had such a fantastic season in a contract year. That did not, I'll just say that I'm concerned about the knee injury. But the offensive line, makeshift, right? Second week in a row, Elton Jenkins slides over to center. John Runyon slides into left guard. Bakhtiari, Runyon, Jenkins, Patrick, Turner. Got the job done. I mean, more than got the job. They were fantastic tonight. Right? How many times was Rodgers even hit? Wasn't sacked once, was only hit. Holy shit, he wasn't even hit once. I thought he must have been hit once. No sacks, no QB hits allowed. I mean, in pass pro, which remember, you have to say pass pro so you know, sound like you know what you're talking about. In pass pro, they were outstanding. The run blocking was awesome, especially up the middle. How great was the run blocking up the middle tonight? They were just, you know, and there's something about when you can run on a team up the middle, it just like rips their heart out. You know what I mean? It just rips their guts out. It's so deflating. And the Packers, they did a fantastic job tonight, especially the interior of that offensive line, Runyon, Jenkins, and Patrick, opening up those holes for Jones and then Williams later in the game to just exploit up the middle. It's fantastic. I got to talk about Elton Jenkins. I know I've mentioned him on the show here a little bit. I don't think I've talked about him enough. I have not paid him enough lip service. The fact that this kid is in his second, he's not even 2 years into the league. He's played all five positions on the offensive line at varying points. All five positions. And excelled at all five. Right? Tonight he moves over to center. The run blocking up the middle was probably better than it's been all season with him there. Just an incredible player. And I talked about this on Twitter too. I don't say this lightly. But when you consider age, the fact that he's only in his second year, right? His contract, he's on a rookie deal, a second round pick rookie deal. I don't know the cap number offhand, but it's not much. So his age, his contract, the fact that the guy is so incredibly talented and so incredibly versatile, is there a more valuable offensive lineman in the NFL right now? I think you'd be hard pressed to find one. I'll say that you'd be hard pressed to find someone more valuable, not better. That's a different question, right? Because Jenkins only has to look to his left to find an offensive lineman who's better. Bakhtiari is a better player right now, but more valuable overall. No, it's Jenkins. I think he's got to be tops in the league in that category for sure. Just outstanding, you know. And when you consider he's only in his second year, like, Big E is going to get so much better. He could get so much better. It's really exciting to think about how good he could be if you're someone who is excited about offensive line play like I am. I played a little offensive line. I'm not bragging. I was pretty good in Pop Warner's right tackle. You know, they moved me from left to right because my feet weren't very good, but I was a good right tackle. Anyway, I feel like I want to really give him his due here. Special player, only in his second year. It's really exciting. Love Elton Jenkins. Okay, so we move over to the defense now. The defense, it was good. Right, look, they gave up 10 points through three quarters. Mitch Trubisky, I hope the Bears keep him forever. He's fucking terrible. God damn, he's so bad. How did they, what talent evaluator looked at him, Pat Mahomes? Okay, look, maybe Mahomes, right? I get it. Mahomes, everybody looks at that now like he was a slam dunk coming out of college. He wasn't. He very much was not coming out of Texas Tech. But over Deshaun Watson? How on earth do you take Deshaun Watson? I'm going to look this up. Will you just indulge me for a minute here? I want to look up that draft. This is fast. I should put the intermission music right now for this. Right? How do you take Trubisky over? After what we saw out of Deshaun Watson at Clemson, how do you take Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson? Even if you're like, okay, I get why they took him over Mahomes at that time. How do you pass up? I mean, Watson's a stud. How did they screw that up so bad? How does that guy still have a job? How is he not like a janitor at McDonald's? So, I mean, Mitch Trubisky's terrible, but it was a, you know, look, it was a good effort from the defense, right? They played well. I was a little concerned. One thing that had me very concerned in the first half, I do have the numbers on that, was that the Packers, despite the Bears only being on the field for 8 minutes and 54 seconds, gave up 189 yards. So that's not great. You know, I mean, they gave up a lot of yards, but they got the big plays, right? They got the two big plays in the first half. And speaking of that, that's who they are, right? They gave up the yards, but they got the big plays. And that is who this defense is. And it was really nice to see two of the more maligned players, safety Darnell Savage and outside linebacker Preston Smith, really kind of lead the way tonight for the defense. That was very encouraging to see. Let's talk about Savage first. He had, the two interceptions were just, that was really nice to see from him. This was his best game as a pro, no question. So the first one, oh my God, my notes here are a mess, sorry. Okay, so here we go. Sorry about that. The first interception, early second quarter, Trubisky goes deep into double coverage. Savage comes down with it in the end zone, or towards the back of the end zone, actually. He was still able to haul it in. Really a nice play. Dumb decision by Trubisky, but Savage made a really nice play coming down with that ball. People say, well, he's just playing center field. That's a tough play to make. But his second half interception, that was really super impressive, that second half interception. That was 3rd and 11, early third quarter. Really a nice play by Savage to undercut the wide receiver and come down with Trubisky's pass, even though he was drifting backwards. I mean, he was almost falling down as he caught it. Real two big plays from Savage. If he, because I think Adrian Amos has had a pretty good year. You know, I'd say on the quiet end, but that's kind of his style. But he's had a really solid year. Savage can be that explosive playmaker. That changes so much for the back end of the defense, which I actually think is pretty good. But that would make it so much better if Savage can really kind of get going here in the final, what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks of the year. And then Preston Smith, I will say it felt like the coaching staff challenged him. He did not start the game. Rashawn Gary got the starter outside linebacker. It felt like they were very much trying to send a message to Preston Smith, kind of light a fire under his ass, and boy, did it work, man. He had a nice... He was very, very noticeable tonight. 3 tackles. He had a sack. 2 QB hits. He had a really nice play on Trubisky down by the goal line at the end of the first half. Bears ended up scoring on that drive. But a really nice play. He didn't fall for the fake and was able to tackle Trubisky on the scramble. But obviously, I mean, his touchdown was his big moment, right? Nice play from Za'Darius Smith. Knocks the ball out. They probably should have called face masking on Z. Okay. But you know what? We got screwed last week that when they didn't call face masking on Indy, on Aaron Jones. So, you know what? We're even now, NFL. And for anybody who says, oh, the Packers get all the calls. Did you see that last week? We were owed one tonight. We got it. So they didn't call it. I think he might have actually face masked him twice, but whatever. Nice play by Preston to pick up the ball, run it in for the score. That made the score, was at 27? Was it 27-3 at that point? Sorry, it's late, you guys. I made it 27-3 Packers with 3:11 to go in the first half. And the route was officially on at that point. But yeah, nice job by Preston Smith. Johnny on the spot, picked up the ball, ran it in for the score. So really, you know, those guys, I don't think Savage has been bad this year. He's just been far quieter than I think anybody was hoping for. Preston has been bad. He looks overweight. He came into camp out of shape and overweight. Doesn't look like he's lost a lot of weight. He has not been as explosive as he was last year. So maybe this will get him going. I know I've said this before on the show, but maybe this will get him going. It's a different defense when he's playing really well. It is. And if that can happen and you get Savage now, okay, look, this defense isn't going to be great They'll never be great with Pettin calling the shots. But maybe those two could help pull them towards being respectable, and that would be huge with this offense. So, yeah. And again, I want to talk about Z. That was really nice. I'm wearing the Za'Darius Smith shirt, so anytime he makes play, I got to mention it. Nice job by him sacking Trubisky, knocking the ball out. And then special teams, well, at least they weren't an issue, right? Nothing great, really. I guess J.K. Scott did have the 150-yard punt. That was nice. But no massive meltdowns or anything? So that's a positive. That could be a step. Again, that might be all we can expect from that group, at least until Tyler Irvin returns from injury. So yeah, 25 minutes in, big picture time. It's nice to have the division wrapped up, essentially. Knocking on wood again. I don't know if we learned a ton about the Packers tonight. I wouldn't say we did. The Bears simply aren't very good, you know? But having said that, you can't get to where you want to go without winning the division first, right? That's always the first goal for any team. And the Packers have essentially done that. So they'll get at least one playoff game at Lambeau, and that's big, right? You'd rather play at Lambeau than not in the playoffs. And really, I will say this. Look, I know I was pretty harsh on them after last week's win. Sorry, my cup just bumped the mic. It's 11:47, bear with me. I was pretty harsh on them after last week's loss. And I still believe a lot of what I said. But having said that, the NFC is kind of a crapshoot, right? You can say that. Tampa lost today. I didn't think they looked particularly good against Kansas City. The Rams had kind of a clunker and lost late. Lost right at the end of the 49ers. Arizona lost up in New England. The Saints beat a Denver team that didn't have a quarterback. So what the hell does that mean? Like, I'm still not sure on Green Bay's chances, but it's kind of a wide open conference, you know, and especially if Aaron Rodgers is dialed in, who the hell knows? I will say that. Don't feel great, but I'm not going to totally write them off. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so I told people to submit questions via Twitter and email, and people did, which was nice because it is late. We start with Wesley Wyndham Price at Price Wyndham, who asks, great win, but did we learn anything new from this game? When everyone is healthy, this offense is great. The defense is capable of making splash plays, but still allowed Mitch to move the ball and put up 25. Oh, and Mitch is still bad. Yes, Wesley, that he is. You know, I just talked about that. Nah, I don't know if we learned anything new, you know. I would agree with what you said, you know. The offense, when they have everybody on the field, they're great. The defense, this is who they are. They're going to give up yards. They're going to give up points. You just hope that they get enough splash plays, like you said, enough turnovers to kind of offset that. And tonight they did, you know. In the first half against Indy last week, they did. Second half, they didn't, and they fell apart. You know, for this defense, it is kind of feast or famine. It's turnovers, or they're probably going to get gashed. That's just kind of the way it is right now. I wish it wasn't, you know, but it is. Brew Crewer, my old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, Adam Summers, bestest friend in the world, at @asummers_time, just simply sent me a tweet from, was it Packers history, at Historic Packers. Since 2008, remember I said there was going to be more rivalry standing stuff? Here it is. Since 2008, the Packers are 21-5 against the Bears, including playoffs. Holy shit. 21-5 against the Bears, including playoffs, including an NFC Championship game. That is all-time ownage. There's, like, nothing Bears fans could say. Like, there's no shit they can talk to us, because all you have to come back with is, hey, remember that NFC Championship game when we beat you guys and went to the Super Bowl and won? Like, what can Bears fans say? There's nothing. They have no comeback to that. You've shut them down. But yeah, 21-5. I mean, Rodgers has basically owned them. I'm trying to think about the five games they lost. They lost the one late in 05. I'm not going to go through all of them, but they lost the one late in 05. Or they lost the one late in 08. Excuse me. That was a Monday Night Football game. I'm not going to go through the list. That's the first one I remember anyways in the Aaron Rodgers era. And then Adam sends me a GIF. Wasn't pretty on defense in the second half, but, and it's a GIF of Paul Bearer. I think that's Paul Bearer doing the DX suck it over. I'm not sure who that is on the ground. Is that Jerry Lawler? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, suck at Chicago for sure. Definitely. Always. Justin Cornwell at Justin A. Cornwell says, I love the offense right now. That's two very good defenses in a row they have played well against. I think they can score on anyone. The defense is frustrating, but if they can create multiple turnovers like the last three games, it could be enough. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Bears' defense is on the same level as Indy's, especially having no Hakeem Nicks in the lineup tonight. Hakeem Hicks? I should probably get his name right. Is it Hicks? Oh, my God. I'm blanking here. Hakeem Hicks, who was out with what? He had a hamstring, I believe, tonight? He's one of their better defensive players, obviously. One of the better defensive players in the league. So that hurt. I don't know if the Packers would have put up quite as many points as they did had he been playing. But, yeah. Still a good defense, you know, still Khalil Mack, still Eddie Jackson, still Kyle Fuller. Yeah, obviously. I think they probably can't score on most teams. I would agree with you there. I don't know about anyone, but most teams, yeah. And yeah, I mean, like you said, the defense, it's all about those turnovers, those big plays. They're going to live and die with that defensively. It stinks, but that's who they are right now. Could it be enough? Yeah, I mean, sure, if the offense... I mean, if they get the formula they got tonight, yeah, I think they can beat anyone. I'm leery that the offense will play quite as well against top-notch competition, and I'm leery that the defense will be able to come up with those turnovers when they're not playing Mitch Trubisky or, you know, an older-than-dirt Philip Rivers. You know, if they're playing Russell Wilson or, you know, someone like that in the playoffs, I would worry, for sure. But maybe, I'll say that. And then I do have some email questions here, a couple. My man Kyle Terpenning, who still won't get Twitter. Good for you, Kyle. Writes in, game's not over yet, but it looks like the Packers will win. Jeez, you didn't wait until the game was over to send the email. You're ready. I wish that the Packers could have clamped down harder at the end there to make the victory truly savory. And I'm still terrified of the prospect of Henry in a few weeks. However, I will savor this win tonight like I did that 2014 Sunday Night Football game against the Bears. Let's get revenge next week for the loss last year. Hashtag beat the Eagles. And he says, oh, forgot to mention, feels damn good to be the first team in NFL history to have 100 wins over another team. Feels even better that the team in question is the Bears. Yeah, I agree with all that. I'm definitely still terrified at the prospect of Derrick Henry coming in a few weeks. No question about that. I still don't feel great about that game as a Packer fan. But yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks that they gave up those points at the end. Garbage time points are always frustrating. You'd like to see them just kind of really put the hammer down, but that's just kind of, again, who this defense is. That Sunday night, I was at that Sunday Night Football game in 2014. Well, I'm already at 33 minutes, so I'm not going to tell the story, but I was at that game. That was an incredible, I've never seen an athlete in the zone like Aaron Rodgers was that night against the Bears. That was some otherworldly shit, man. He was like possessed. I swear to God, he could have thrown some of those passes blindfolded and they still would have been touchdowns. I was drunk, full disclosure, and at one point in the first half, I lost track of how many touchdowns he'd thrown. I was like, is that, how many is that? Is that four? Five? We got to six. I was like, is that six? Couldn't believe it. You know what's funny? I will tell this really quick. I had a friend who lived, former friend lived in the Bay Area at the time. He, that day, he's a Packer fan. He had gone to the Broncos Raiders game that day in Oakland. And Peyton Manning threw five touchdowns. I talked about this on Twitter a couple days ago, but if you don't follow, I'll tell the story here. So he goes to the game, and Manning throws five touchdowns. And he texts me, and he's like, where are you watching the game tonight? And I just sent him a picture of Lambeau, and I'm like, oh, I got a pretty good view for the game. And he's like, holy shit, are you going? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, dude, I just saw Peyton throw five touchdowns. You think A-Rodge can top that? And I was like, I don't know. We'll see. And literally, like, at halftime, he texts me. He's like, that fucking guy threw six in one half. I was like, yeah, how's that? Will that do? So it was funny that we were both at these games, Manning throwing five and then me being at Rodgers throwing six in the same day. So yeah, that was a hell of a night for sure. And then one more, Ben Johnson, longtime listener, Ben Johnson. Thank you for listening to this show. I appreciate all your emails, Ben. He writes, Chris, after Alan Lazard was hurt, why doesn't MLF do a Herman Boone and run up the score? Why two games in a row do they let a team back in the game? Good win minus the injuries. Well, I think they tried to run up the score. A lot of teams would have taken their foot off the gas up 34-10, but they stayed in. They were still, I mean, Rodgers played almost the entire game. We got a little Tim Boyle laser show at the end, but yeah, I mean, they were still, the offensive line was still blocking like it mattered. They were definitely FU blocking on that drive that ended in the Jamal Williams touchdown. So I think they were trying to run up the score. I just think the defense isn't good enough to do that for 60 minutes. Why did they let him back? Well, let's explain that. And yeah, it was a good win. It was a good win tonight, you know? it's always good to blow out the Bears. It's always good to basically lock up the division. It was good. Again, maybe didn't learn that much about the team, but it was a fun night. And that's why you watch, right? Is to have fun. All right, so thank you to everybody who sent questions on Twitter and email. That is very appreciated since it is late. We look ahead now to next week. The Packers will be welcoming the aforementioned Philadelphia Eagles, the 3-6-1 Philadelphia Eagles, who play the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow night on Monday Night Football, into Lambeau for a game that is a 3:25 Lambeau time start on CBS. So if you hated having to listen to Tony Dungy shit all over the Packers tonight, good news. We get Romo next week. How cool is that? The best commentator in the game right now, Tony Romo, Jim Nantz coming into Lambeau. I'm kind of wishy-washy on Nantz. I don't really like him that much. But Romo is fantastic. Romo loves Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be an Aaron Rodgers love fest for 3 hours. Isn't that nice after having to listen to Dungy tonight? I say so. Philly, you know, the NFC East has been talked about a lot. The NFC East is so goddamn bad. Oh, my God. They're, what are they, 3-6-1? Are they in, like, second place? They are what? Oh, with the tie, it's goofy. What, one? If they win tomorrow night, they're, what, a half game out? Oh, actually, they would be in first place tomorrow night. They'd be a half game up on the Giants and the Washington football team. At 4-6-1. What happened to the NFC East? When I was growing up, that was the power division when I was a kid. Now it's just garbage. Anyways, yeah, the Packers will be looking to avenge. I know the Eagles came into Lambeau last year and beat them on Monday or Thursday Night Football. That was a close game. Wentz played really well. He's been terrible this season. So it'll be interesting to see if he's even the starter. Maybe they'll be. Maybe Jalen Hurts will be the starter next week. Hard to say. Have to keep an eye on that. Of course, I'll be back next Sunday night, Monday morning, by the time you hear from me, to recap that one, win, lose, or draw. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. The Bears still suck. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Stay safe out there in this crazy-ass world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.